A popular author once asked as the title of the book, "Do Robots Dream of Electric Sheep?" That was the book that was made into the movie Blade Runner. It's a weird question. Do robots dream of electric sheep? Let's skip the electric sheep part. Do robots dream? Okay, good. Right answer. Robots don't dream. Robots, computers, electronics, machines, they don't dream. They're not alive. They can be turned off. They can be turned on. They can go into what we might call sleep mode, but just because they're asleep doesn't mean that they dream. They're just, these machines, they're just objects with lots of moving parts. And yet, these little machines do a pretty good job of seeming to be alive. They light up, they look at us, they see us with their little eyeball cameras. They make sounds, they even talk. They find things for me when I ask them. They remind me to do things. They tell me about all the nifty things I could do with them if they just let me do it all for me, which I don't let them do it all. They've trained me to think like them. They've trained me to act. Like Pavlov's dog, I respond whenever one of these electronic things goes ding, and I have to look at it, answer it, see what's going on. I go to leave the house, I've got to have it with me. I can't leave the house without it. My electronics tell me to do things more often than I tell them to do things. And then sometimes I have to prove to them that I'm not a robot. Regularly I see articles about the advances in artificial intelligence, right? AI. I'm not a fan of that word intelligence being applied in this situation to robots, to computers, because even if computers can follow instructions, you know, they do what they're programmed to do, and even if they can store a lot of information, facts, fictions, whatever you put into them, it'll hold on to it for you. It can hold all that information, but they can't put it all together. They're never going to be intelligent the way human beings are intelligent. So I just don't like using that word intelligence for them. But also, they will never have free will. They will always do what they're programmed to do. They won't be able to choose to do anything aside from their programming. What happens if we spend too much time with robots? I know what happens when I do. I eventually start changing my thinking to think like them. My humanity starts to be overshadowed by computer logic. I want to get the copier to do what I want it to do. I have to start thinking like the copy machine. And then I'm no longer thinking like a human being. If I hang out too much with robots, it's bad for my humanity. So what's the remedy to turning into a robot? Spend more time with humans. Sure. Do things that robots can't do. Make music. Robots can't make music. They can play. They can't make it. Play a game. Paint a picture. Invent something. Pray. Give a gift to someone you love. Robots don't give gifts. Do anything that robots can't do. Computers, robots, machines, they consume fuel. Gasoline in your car, electricity. They just consume fuel to do what they need to do. Yeah, we eat, but we feast. Human beings feast. We have a party. So have a good meal. That's something robots can't do. For them, it's just fuel. For us, it's more than that. You know what else that robots can't do? Sin. Robots can't sin. We can hurt people on purpose because we want to. We can offend God if we feel like it. We can steal things because we want to. We can shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die, like Johnny Cash sang. We can break rules. We can choose to do all sorts of horrible things because we want to. Because of our free will, and because frequently enough we choose evil instead of good, or we choose to destroy things rather than to create things, what does God do with us because of the way that we live? Well, first of all, God gives his law to us. He gave Moses what? 10 Commandments. And so once he put the 10 Commandments into us and programmed us with those rules, we've been fine ever since, right? Well, yeah, obviously not. We break them. Lying, murder, whatever. Here's the good thing about that. At least we know we're not robots. Don't be a robot. If we were robots, we would have to follow the rules, of course. We would just do what we were programmed to, and we wouldn't be able to break them. So obviously, giving rules isn't enough for God. And God knows that. He knew it wasn't enough for us. So when the time was right, he came to us himself, took on flesh, being like us. A little nativity scene over there. Is this one of the rules that God operates by? When necessary, become human. It's an interesting rule. How else does God act? Forgive them when they ask it. They do not know what they're doing. Die for them. Defeat death for them. Interesting way of life for God. The rules that God lives by. If this is the way God operates, that's great. Because otherwise, I hear some people tell me some crazy rules that they think God works by. People tell me, oh, I can't walk into a church. God will strike me with lightning. I don't know where that's written down. I've never seen it in the Bible. And better yet, I've never seen it happen. So is that really a rule that God works by? Or, I've heard this, I'm going to hell because God can't forgive me for such and such. Once again, I don't know where that's written down. We're shown time and again that there is nothing beyond God's forgiveness. So where are you coming up with this rule? The divine logic is so far beyond our assumptions, our weird assumptions sometimes, and so far beyond our understanding, too. I mean, lay down your life for your friend. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Forgive 70 times, 7 times. It's God's logic is different than ours. And how does he communicate all of it to us? Well, we receive it as a gift. Not just the tablets of the Ten Commandments written on them that God gave to Moses. Here's your gift. But God gives himself as the gift. He gives himself to us. And so he's born at Bethlehem. God knows that if we spend too much time with robots, we become like robots. If we spend too much time in sin, then we can't escape it. God knows this. And so, of course, God knows if we start spending more time with him, then we'll become like him. So he'll come to us. And so he becomes incarnate. He becomes touchable. He becomes visible. I know that very popular gifts these days are electronic, technological things, because we think life is easier with robots, with a house that I can talk to, and with all sorts of things just automatically taken care of. And I completely agree. I'm thankful for that a lot. But life is a lot easier with many of these things. But let's just take ourselves out of all of that for a second. For a minute, let's just be in a barn, where the most advanced piece of technology are the nails used to hold the beams together. Let's just be in a barn for a few minutes, with a few humans, with some animals, with a very special baby, just born. It's a barn, it's smelly, it's drafty and cold, it's dark, lit with just moonlight and starlight, a very special star. The gift that we receive in this place that is just filled with life, whether animal or plant or human or the life of God, the gift that we receive in this barn is this baby. God says, I don't need to give you more rules. I've already given them to you. I need to give you me. The gift is me. Coincidentally, this is the same gift that people give at a wedding. Not the registry full of dishes and whatever, but, you know. The gift that everyone goes to a wedding to see given is the groom to say, I give me to you. And the bride say, I give you me too. And then they have each other. The gift is the person. So looking at this baby and singing Christmas carols still 2,000 years later about this baby born, it makes me wonder if every baby was welcomed into the world like that, with such joy, even if giving birth does take place in a barn or a cave or something. If God can even look like a baby, then all babies must be treated well. If God can even look like a carpenter, then all carpenters must be treated with respect. Must be treated well. If God can even look like a criminal, you know, on the cross, then all criminals must be treated well. This is what it means to be made in God's image and likeness, to have something about us that is transcendent, and to be sure that our humanity doesn't come from anything below us, like we didn't earn it. It was given to us from above. God makes us to look like him. And this is what we often forget, that we already look like God. God created us. God may not be like us in that we like to break rules and hurt other people because we feel like it or whatever. But we certainly look like God. We are made in God's image and likeness. That's the theological statement. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We look so much like God that when God comes to us, we mistake him for one of us. Well, he just looks like a baby, a little human baby. That's the risk, of course. That's the risk that God makes. We mistake Jesus for a man, for just merely a man. We mistake God's work in the world for coincidences. We mistake the beautiful things in the world as accidental, or just matter of course. And we look at a rainbow, and we think it's beautiful. And then we think about it, and we think, well, it's just light hitting raindrops and refracting and breaking it into all the different colors, and it's just a physics thing. You know, it's just a optics thing. But no, it's more than that. It is that, but it's more than that. It was a choice God made to say, I'm going to make this a beautiful thing. The coincidences that are actually God's work. Jesus is actually God and man, not just merely a man. All of this God has chosen to do because he's free. He's not a robot either. God is among us whether we recognize him or not. The message of this day of Christmas is not only that Jesus was born a couple thousand years ago, but that he's constantly here with us. He's not abandoned us to go through life without help, without divine assistance. He doesn't leave us orphans, and he will fight for us against the powers of darkness, because he is the light of the world, and we who walk in darkness see a great light.